Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please, be seated. The sermon about being thankful, about thanksgiving, which is a core feature of being a Christian. But before I say some words about that, I have many American friends from my time living in America, and I try to encourage them to come and visit Robin and I here in Australia. And several of them say to me, there is no way I'm visiting you in Australia because your country is full of the worst and most dangerous animals in the world. And I say, come on. And they say, look, from what we can read over here, there are more sharks in Australia than there are people. There are more snakes in Australia than there are people. There are more spiders in Australia than there are people, and no thank you very much. To add fuel to this fire, one of my American friends sent me an article via Facebook a couple of weeks ago pointing out a new kind of fungus that had been discovered in the Queensland rainforest. And part of the wonderful features of this newly discovered fungus was that the effect of touching it or eating it was disastrous to the human body. One thing that could happen to you is that it would make your brain shrink. And as some wag on Facebook had written, that explains a lot of Queenslanders. I can try that for someone else. The other thing that this fungus can do, it can cause your skin to delaminate. Now, I didn't like the sound of this, so I looked it up. And skin delamination is a polite way of saying your skin peels off. This is not good. And this is exactly what lepers in Jesus' time had to deal with. Not that they were in contact with a Queensland fungus, but they had an illness which caused their skin to delaminate. What an awful thing this would be to have. And what happened would be that because of this terrible and very contagious disease, lepers would be sequestered. They would sequester themselves, and if they didn't sequester themselves, society would do it for them. And the only way they could earn money to earn a living was to stand by the entry to cities, to the exits to cities on main thoroughfares where they could beg. And this is what we hear going on this morning. Jesus, in Luke's Gospel, this is the only Gospel which includes this account of the 10 lepers. We hear that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Now we know what awaits Jesus in Jerusalem. It is going to be his death and his resurrection. And so here he is in between Samaria and Galilee. And that is Luke's way of saying that Jesus is not playing to his hometown. He is out on the road. And he comes across these 10 lepers. The 10 lepers come across him, really, and they yell, Master, have mercy on us. Rid us of this terrible, terrible affliction. And now we are well into St. Luke's Gospel, and the power of Jesus' healing doesn't even require him to be standing close. He tells them, go and see the priest, and as they go and see the priest, they are made well. Why do they have to go see the priest? Well, the priests were the ones who would verify that someone no longer had leprosy. That wasn't part of my theological training, I have to confess. I don't think it was part of Elizabeth either. But in Jesus' time, that was how you were deemed worthy to be able to interact with the community again, having had leprosy. So off they go. And 10 of them are made well. Now, I don't know what it looks like to have a condition where your skin is peeling off and all of a sudden you are well. Did it sort of peel back on? What happened? Was it instant healing? I don't know. But whatever it was, it would have been pretty dramatic. So 10 of them are healed. One guy comes back. One guy comes to Jesus and thanks Jesus. And the one person is, of course, a Samaritan, which, like the story of the Good Samaritan in Jesus' time, the least likely, the most unexpected person to come to Jesus and to give thanks. And Jesus Jesus says, where are the other nine? And I think that's fair call, right? Where are the other nine? What were they thinking that they thought, well, you know, well, this is good. I'm doing well. I'll just get on with my life. Right? Is that what was happening? I would have thought that if something that momentous had happened to you, you would be thanking Jesus every week until, you know, at least Christmas. I was always told to write thank you notes, and I write thank you notes. Well, I would have been writing a lot of thank you notes to Jesus if I had been sure of something that caused my skin to delaminate. What were they thinking? Well, what they were thinking is what exactly what you and I think or not think when we forget to say thank you. And I do it. I go to a dinner party or I go to a concert where someone has given me tickets and I think during the concert or the dinner, boy, I've got to write this person a thank you. And then I get home that night and I forget. And the next day I'm quite busy and I forget. And then it's the second day and the third day and the fourth day and the fifth. And by the fifth day, I've got to that point where if I send the person a thank you, it's clearly obvious that I've forgotten at some point, so I don't send it. And I kind of push it away. And I don't give thanks. We are to be people of thanksgiving. We are to give thanks for all the good things that God gives us, even in the midst of great adversity or great darkness. There are always things to give thanks for. There was a member of this congregation, and I want to highlight who this person is, and I say to him, how are you? And he said, he's quite ill. And he said, when I wake up in the morning and I discover that I'm alive, I give thanks. I give thanks to God. What a wonderful way to start the day, even in the face of great difficulty and adversity. When I was trained to be a priest in Shepherd, and I lived in a house with another young man training to be a priest, and we would have a whole host of people coming to our door and asking us for help. And I could never distinguish between the people who had genuine need and the people who were gaming the system, frankly. But I did know one thing, that very few people came back and thanked us for the help that the church had given them. And that's okay. You help someone, you don't do it in expectation of thanks. Well, it was about November, and a young man came and knocked on the door. It was sort of around dusk, and he asked for some food. He had lost his job, and he, his wife, and his four children were now living under the stands of the Shepparton football ground. He was homeless, and next to nothing. Can you give me any food? I put together a box of food with the priest I was sharing the house with, and we sent him off into the night with a big box of food. Didn't hear anything from him. That's okay. Christmas Eve in Shepherd, it was as hot as the hinges of hell. It was about 40 degrees. It was about 10 o'clock at night. We had about 10 services to do. Everything that opens and shuts, you know, Christmas Eve, it's all happening. Knock, knock, knock on the door. About the only half hour I've got off between services, knock, knock, knock on the door. And I opened it, and it's this young man who I'd seen about a month before. And he said, I want you to come out the front. So we went out the front. And there out the front of the church is a horse set up in bridle to a homemade sort of, I don't know what you'd call it, like a trailer with a wheel either side, connected to this horse, and there is his wife and his four children, and they have decorated the whole thing with tinsel and lights. I've never seen anything like it. Most people walking past it had never seen anything like it. And I said, well, this is wonderful. And he said, I wanted to come back to you, and I wanted to say thank you for saving our life. Well, he could knock me over with a feather. And he said, we're going to come to church tonight, and we're going to give thanks to God for all the good things that we have in our life. And so he parked it, set up, I don't know what you call it, outside the church. And of course, everyone coming to midnight mass thought it was a stunt, thought it was a prop that we had made for Christmas. It wasn't. It was this guy giving thanks. Central to Christian life is gratitude, is a faith and thankful person for all the good things that God has given us, even in the face of adversity. And at the center of our Christian liturgy, our Christian service on a Sunday morning or even during the week, is what you will see, the great thanksgiving. The Eucharist, the Greek word for thanksgiving, Eucharisto, contemporary Greek faith. Thank you. Thanksgiving. When we come to the altar, we don't simply come with a list of things that we want from God. We come to the altar with a list of things that we say thank you to God. Our hearts are brimming with thanksgiving for the good things that we are given. There's a young man who attended the 8 o'clock service, and he has some real challenges in his life, and when I bless him, he says, thank you, thank you. Not to me, but to God. It's such a lovely thing, and he means it through and through. Where did the other 9 go? What were they thinking? This morning we are given a lesson, I think, and a reminder to be grateful. To be thankful for all that God gives us. To be thankful with each other and to be gracious with each other in this knowledge. And to come in someday or whenever it is that we come to church and hold in our hearts.